I chose as the title for this message, Commands or Prescriptions. And this is what I mean. A command is something you should do, you have to do. You're not really sure why, but there it is. A prescription, on the other hand, you do not have to do, but it is good for you to do. My question to you is do you think the Bible has commands or are they prescriptions? For instance, when you're out driving on the highway, have you ever been known to drive a bit over the speed limit? Now, I don't really want a show of hands, because what I really should say is if you don't raise your hand, you're lying. So let's just go to... Most of us do. Why is that? Why do we drive 57 when the sign, the law, the command says 55? If you're out on a flat, straight highway and there's no other cars around you and all that, does it really matter? That's a law. That's a command. And not really a prescription per se. The first time any of our kids came to see us in Franklin, I said to them, when you top that mountain and it says 35 coming down Cowee Mountain, it means 35. Now you say, well, that's a command. No, I would argue that that's more a prescription. It's what's good for you. This morning, I want you to consider your view, your attitude toward God and His Word. Is the Bible full of commands or is it full of prescriptions? Is the Bible just full of do's and don'ts, things that if you do them or not, it doesn't really matter, like driving 1 mile per hour over the speed limit? Or is the Bible full of prescriptions, things that are good for you when you do them? My argument, and Isaiah the prophet's argument, is that the Bible is full of prescriptions that help us and are good for us to know and follow. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. If you find the book of Psalms, go to the right. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah. Chapter 40. We're going to start in verse 1. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Is the Bible full of commands or prescriptions? The Bible is more about prescriptions than commands because of the comfort God gives. God will make everything okay. Isaiah is the first of the major prophets. The nation of Israel has long since been divided into the northern and the southern kingdoms, and the northern kingdom, Israel, had completely strayed away from what God had told them to do and how to live. They had completely gone away, and their time was up. Pagan kings and kingdoms were overtaking them. The southern kingdom, Judah, had been more obedient, but they too were straying away from the Lord. And so Isaiah the prophet comes, and his name means Jehovah saves. He comes upon the scene to prophesy about the coming Messiah, who we know and worship as Jesus the Christ. And so Isaiah's coming and talking about him, and in verse 1, the exhortation is for someone to give them some words of comfort, the way a mother comforts her child. The word literally means breathe. Breathe. It's going to be okay. Breathe. I've got this, God says. Breathe. God is good, and he is in control. It's going to be okay. God is seeking someone to proclaim his message, which has three parts. The first part is the warfare has ended. The hostility is over. And that's all they had known for years and years and years. You know, we pray for our brother there in Yugoslavia in Belgrade. I don't know what it would be like to have lived through that. When someone was after me all the time. And if they weren't after me, they were after somebody else, and I might have gotten in the way. And that's what the people had experienced. And the first part of the message is the warfare is over, the hostility is over. And the second part of it is the iniquity, the sin has been removed. God has taken care of that which we willfully or unwillfully but did anyway. God has taken care of that. And the third thing is that as painful as the discipline the Lord has had to give has been, what he gives now is twice as good. Twice as good. When a child is hurt, dads, I hate to break it to you, they don't want you. They want mama. Having seen this more than once, I once saw a small child be hurt by an older child, crying, reaching out for his mother. The mother scooped him up. The child was so upset he had literally stopped breathing. And the mother said, "Breathe. Breathe." And I knew he had when I heard him cry. And it wasn't long until the crying was over and the child was asleep. And that's what Isaiah is saying to us. And that's what God is saying to you this morning. That the Bible is full of prescriptions, things that are good for us. Breathe. God gives us comfort. Breathe. This morning, are you hurting? Is our town, our state, this nation hurting? Oh, in so many ways. Would we have such an opioid crisis in this country if the nation was not hurting? We get into something and God's word says, don't do this, but we say, oh, that's a command, and I know better, and it won't happen to me, and I know what I'm doing, and so we do this, and all this happens to us, and we wonder why. We wonder why. Ultimately, people are miserable because they do not know Jesus. Because God gives comfort. He sent Jesus to do just that. Do you know Jesus as your Savior this morning? Your comforter? The confession and repentance necessary to come into that saving relationship with Jesus is what allows that. It ends the hostility. It ends the warfare. And the truth is, without this saving relationship, Jesus is not at war with us as much as we are with Him. And we're never going to win. And ultimately, if we're at war with Him, we're at war against ourselves. You've heard the expression, he shot himself in the foot. Well, take two guns. Load them up. If you go against what God says, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. Both feet. This morning, do you know Jesus? Do you know what God's Word says about life and how to live it? Is the Bible a book of commands or is it a book of prescriptions? The Bible is more about prescriptions than commands, so tell others about Jesus. Jesus is good news. John the Baptist quoted verse 3 as he went before Jesus proclaiming His coming, the coming of the Savior. Make preparations for the coming of the Lord. The process of preparation is likened to a royal edict that a king would have made to the people in a distant land. Get everything ready. Make the roads smooth as best as you can. Make them leveled. Get everything ready. And that's what Isaiah said. Make preparations for the coming of the Lord. John the Baptist repeated it. And then a voice, he says, calls out, possibly an angel, make ready. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Isaiah looked forward to that day. We get to look back. Jesus has come. God in human form has come. So tell others about Him. Grace and mercy has been offered to all. So tell others about Him. The redemption from sin has been made possible. Tell others about Jesus. Telling other people about Jesus is truly one hungry beggar telling another where he found something to eat. Why is it evangelism, the telling of others about Jesus and how to know Him, is such a daunting task to us? I don't want to see hands. But if the truth if I ask the question, have you ever told someone about Jesus? The truth of it is probably less than half of us ever have. Why is that such a daunting task? It doesn't matter if you have a dramatic story to tell or not. I was 8 years old. I hadn't done anything I started to say wrong, and yeah, I'd done plenty wrong. But I hadn't done anything that, you know, would make headlines and ooh, ah, wow. I was an 8-year-old kid, but I knew that there was something missing in my heart, in my life. And He was the answer. Why is it such a daunting task? Are you praying for people by name? Are you praying for an opportunity to tell them about Jesus? Remember, the Bible is not about commands as much as it is about prescriptions. The Bible is more about prescriptions than commands because God is dependable. Well, you and I are not. I hate to break it to you. Another voice directs to call out. Another asks, what is there to call out? The voice describes mankind. All flesh is like grass. All flesh is like a flower. Here today, gone tomorrow. All flesh is like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. Do not think that because Jesus, the Son of God, took on human form, that He is like the rest of us. The Word of God stands forever. Can I say it again? The Word of God stands forever. Amen. So be it. The Word of God stands forever. When Isaiah was alive, if he held something in his hand and let go of it, which way did it go? Down. If I drop this pen right now, Which way will it go? Down. Gravity is the same. It is dependable. And I think God made it that way to be an example of His dependability. The Word of God stands forever. Have you ever heard the saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same? Too often we think that because we travel differently and communicate differently than Isaiah did, or know more about God's creation than he did, that the truth of God, who He is and how we're to live our life, is different or has changed. And I want to say to you, it hasn't. The Word of God stands forever. God is dependable. And you don't really have the option of not following His prescriptions because they didn't make sense to you. And I didn't know we'll never cut it. And so that's why the studying of God's Word for yourself is so important. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Jordan, I'm still too hot. I'm ringing. It is heartbreaking to me when somebody says, I just want a Sunday school class that I can just walk into and sit down and let the teacher talk. Because what that person has truly, really admitted is I don't care about God's Word. I don't care about how I live. I don't care who He is. It is heartbreaking. Now, I didn't make up this commands or prescription thing, and I looked back over everything I thought I'd picked up this week because I read it somewhere this week. But it made me think about what I was told 3 months ago. I have laughed or tried to laugh because I have called myself the pharmacy's new best customer or best new customer, whichever way you want to say it. But one of the pills that I take now, they said don't ever miss a day. And certainly don't miss 2 or 3 days. And they talked about somebody who had gone somewhere and left his medication at home for 4 days. And the man had another heart attack before he got back. So don't ever think, it doesn't really matter if I do that, or it doesn't really matter about what all that. The Bible is full of prescriptions. You need to know what God's Word says because His Word stands forever. You may not have heard about this, but the buzz right now in some circles is about whether or not the church should unhitch from the Old Testament. Can I say to you that whether you understand why God said do this, that, and the other or not, it doesn't really matter? Because what those are more prescriptions than they are commands. And if we would live according to the way the Bible says live. Now I got to tell you, as a guy who has fought weight all his life, I really do like the numbers that my scales tell me now. You say, well, people will say, well, you were in pretty good shape before. No. And let me tell you, I have lost weight not because I'm eating less. Trust me. It's because I'm eating the right things. I'm doing what God says do. And we wonder about why God said this or what. But the New Testament and the Old Testament are still God's Word that stands forever. Yes, the way to a right relationship with God has changed because of what Jesus has done. But Jesus Himself said, I didn't come to change anything about the law. I came to fulfill it. Remember, the Bible is about prescriptions rather than commands. The Bible is more about prescriptions than commands, so celebrate what He will do. Look forward, don't look back. Proclaim the good news that God is here. Jesus has come. God has revealed Himself through Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. And remember, Isaiah is dealing with the people who know or will know firsthand the oppression of foreign invading armies. God will come with might. He will square all accounts. He will come to rule and reward His people. And He's like a shepherd. He will tend His flock. He will gather the lambs and carry them. And He will gently lead His people, His sheep. My folks used to tell a story of something one of my mom's brothers did to my grandparents. My uncle was in the military and he had gotten leave to go home, and however it worked out, my parents were to pick him up and take him home. About a mile before they got to my grandparents' house, my uncle asked my dad to stop the car, and he got out and he wanted to surprise my grandparents. I can only imagine the disappointment that they were feeling. I used to think, though, that that was so neat, that element of surprise, until I got to be a parent waiting for a son to come home. I realized that you enjoy a moment three ways. You look forward to it, you enjoy it while it's happening, and then you enjoy the memory of it. And while we cannot enjoy looking forward to God taking on human form, nor the time when Jesus walked the earth, we do get to look back and celebrate what He did. Plus, we do get to look forward to what Jesus will do in our lives, in this church, in this community, and ultimately one day when He closes it all down. But we get to celebrate too. We get to enjoy what He's doing right now. Are you celebrating? Do you think the Bible is full of commands or prescriptions? Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost for His Highest, said this about Luke 9:61. Lord, I will follow You, but first, suppose God tells you to do something that is an enormous test of your common sense, totally going against it. What will you do? Will you hold back? If you get into the habit of doing something physically, you will do it every time you are tested until you break the habit through sheer determination. And the same is true spiritually. Again and again, you will come right up to what Jesus wants. But every time you will turn back at the true point of testing until you are determined to abandon yourself to God in total surrender. Yet we tend to say, yes, but suppose I do obey God in this matter. What about? Or we say, yes, I will obey God if what He asks of me doesn't go against my common sense, but don't ask me to take a step in the dark. Jesus Christ demands the same unrestrained, adventurous spirit in those who have placed their trust in Him that the natural man exhibits. If a person is ever going to do anything worthwhile, there will be times when he must risk everything by his leap in the dark. In the spiritual realm, Jesus Christ demands that you risk everything you hold on to or believe through common sense and leap by faith into what He says. Once you obey, you will immediately find that what He says is as solidly consistent as common sense. By the test of common sense, Jesus Christ's statements may seem mad, but when you test them by the trial of faith, your findings will fill your spirit with the awesome fact that they are the very words of God. Trust completely in God, and when He brings you to a new opportunity of adventure, offering it to you, see that you take it. We act like pagans in a crisis. Only one out of an entire crowd is daring enough to invest his faith in the character of God. Has God given us commands or prescriptions? Well, if there's any doubt, I think God has given us prescriptions, that which will benefit us even in what looks like a command. Study God's Word to know His Word. God gives comfort through His Word. Then tell others about Jesus, what He has done and what He is doing. He is dependable. His Word is dependable. And then celebrate what He will do. Let's pray together. Father, I don't know what the attitude of those within the sound of my voice is or was about your word before. Father, I pray that you have changed hearts. And Father, I pray that you will cause us to want to know your word for ourselves. May we be about it because you are dependable, you are trustworthy, and you are good. Father, I'm sure there's some conviction that needs to continue. May we respond in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, search our hearts. Show us if there be any wicked way within us. Thank you for being dependable. We pray together in Christ's name. Amen. Now, for some of you, it may be that you need to come and accept Christ today. I don't know where you truly stand with Him. For some of you, the real test of obedience is maybe next Sunday morning when there's an opportunity for you to open God's Word with a group of people. It may also be that it'll be in the fall when we get serious about Bible study again. But is, in your opinion, God's Word a command or a prescription?